the Sicha for Pasha Shlach is in Likutei Sichas, Chelek Yudches, Volume 18. In our Pasha, on the Pasuk, V'ato Yigdal Na Koyach Adnai, where Moshe Rabbeinu was asking forgiveness for the sins of the Jews, for the sins of the spies, the pasuk says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, "V'ato and now, Yigdal no koyach Adnai, let the strength of God be strengthened, be stronger." So on this, the Zohar says, "Reb Acha and Reb Yesi amr, Reb Acha and Reb Yesi say, Zakoyim inon Yisrael me amin akum di alma. Jews are more worthy than the idolatrous nations of the world." In what way? The Kochabrichu Yisroi Bohu, God chooses them, wants them. The Iskinibuhu, God calls himself by their name, the God of Israel. So the Jews are like a nickname for God. And the third thing, V'espoir Bohu, and also God takes pleasure and pride in the Jew. The Ha'alma Le'ivre Ella Beginayin the Yisrael, because the world was created only for the Jews, the Yisrael Inon Kiyumadilei, and the Jew is the force that maintains the world, that keeps the world in existence, the Kiyumad Chol Shar Amin. The Jewish people also gives existence, or continued existence, to all the other nations. The Rebbe then explains why it is that the Zohar chooses these three qualities with which to praise and make the Jewish people unique. That God is kind to them, wants them. That God is described or defined by them. That the Jew is God's nickname. And also that God takes pleasure and is proud of them, and doesn't bring other features, other virtues that would seem to be even greater than these, with which to complement the Jewish people, to set them apart from other nations. As for example, Nikru Bonim Lamokin, like we say in Pirkei Avos, that Jews are called God's children. So the Rebbe's father, in his notes on the Zohar, explains that this is in keeping with what it says a little bit further there in the Zohar, that the Jews are Lev Shel Kol Ha'olam, that the Jews are the heart of the world. And even in this quote of the Zohar, he says that the Jews are the ones who maintain the world. And therefore, he mentions the three virtues with which Jews are different and set apart from other nations that have some connection to emotions. Chesed, Gevura, and Teferis, kindness, severity, and beauty, because the emotions are in the heart. And since the Jews are the heart of the world, so he mentions the virtues that exist in a heart. As he explains, that God wants the Jew, chooses the Jew, that's chesed. And that we are nicknamed, we are God's nickname, that's like gvura, like Elohim, that conceals the essence. The nickname conceals the essence. And then the espoir behu, God is proud of us, that is the union of teferis, of beauty. And therefore, it wouldn't be appropriate to bring or to mention the quality or the virtue that Jews are called God's children, because this doesn't show how Jews are higher in the creation, but rather higher than creation. Because how is it that Jews are children of God? Because Jews are created not out of the Word of God, like the rest of the world, but rather out of God's thought, Machshavton Shel Yisro, Kodmo L'chol Dover. and the thought, the divine thought from which the Jewish neshama is created, is higher than the whole, than the rest of creation. And so that would set the Jews apart, not from other nations, but from the creation itself. And here in the Zohar, he wants to speak about how in the world, among the nations, the Jews are different and have a special function in the creation, and a special effect on creation. As he says, the world was created for the Jewish people. But what needs to be understood, the Rebbe says, what is the connection with these three virtues to the pasuk on which the Zohar gives this explanation? The pasuk, Va'ata yigdal no koyach adnai. How is this whole subject with the specialness of the Jewish people, how does this explain, how does this enlighten us on the meaning of this pasuk? Number two, before the Zohar mentions the three virtues, he says, Jews are better than other than the idolatrous nations of the world. Which implies that the Zohar is telling us something we didn't know before. So the question is, how could this be something we don't already know? Where is the mistake? How could we have made the mistake of thinking that there is no difference between Jew and non-Jew? And in general, why is the specialness of a Jew described or presented in contrast with non-Jews? Why aren't Jews described independently and their virtues presented independently on their own merit? Why in contrast to other nations? So to understand this, we first have to understand what is the meaning, the simple meaning of the pasuk, V'ata yigdal no koyach adnai. The simple meaning of it is, Moshe Rabbeinu is praying that God should forgive the Jews for the sin of the spies. As the Medrash explains the words, Yigdal na koyach adnai, that the attribute of kindness should be victorious over the attribute of judgment, so that the forgiveness would be given. But here we have a few questions. Number one, since Moshe is trying to arouse kindness and compassion, he should have referred to God by God's name that describes compassion, and that is the name Havaya, Yudke Vovke. Why in this pasuk, where he's asking for kindness, does he use the name of God that refers to severity and to judgment, Adonai, which means master, lord of the world, and that is the element of judgment? Number two, why do we find that in this particular forgiveness, and in reference to this particular sin, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Yigdal no koyach adnai. But with other sins, like the sin of the Egel, where Moshe also asked for forgiveness, he doesn't use this expression. So the explanation of all of this is that the sin of the Meraglim is that they didn't want the Jews to go into the land of Israel. And this was not because they denied God's ability to perform miracles and give them the land, but rather because they were lacking in their recognition of God's being the master of the world, Odin l'chol b'riyesecha, that God is the master in creation and of creation, as we'll explain soon. And since that was their sin, they had damaged their connection with the name Adnai. Their failing was in their recognition and in their awareness of God's mastery of the world, being the master of the world. And so in order to fix that, they had to be an increase. Yigdal no koyach adnai. There had to be an increase, a greater revelation of the fact that God is Odin l'chol b'yesecha, the master of all of creation. On the pasuk where the spies are saying we can't go into Israel because chozok hu mimenu, because the people who live there are stronger than us, the sages said on that verse that the meraglim were saying that afilu bal habayis eimeyochol lehitzi kelov misham. Even the master of the house can't take his property out of there. In other words, he can't give us the land. But the Chazal used this expression, the Balabos can't get his vessels out of the house. And we've already explained this at length on other occasions, but briefly, the Rebbe says, the Meraglim argued that there is a time when God performs miracles, like in the desert. For the 40 years that the Jews were in the desert, there was a time of miracles. But that's because the Jews were living in a miraculous environment, in a miraculous lifestyle. They had not gotten involved in the affairs of the world, in the way of the world, and so their life was a life of miracles, and so miracles were appropriate and revealed in the desert. But when it came time to go into Israel, they were told in advance by the Torah itself, when you will come to the land, Sheishonim Tizra, you will sow the land, and then you will plow, and you will plant, and so on. So they were told in advance that living in Israel meant living by the laws of nature, living within the world, and doing what nature demands, living by Teva. So once the Torah tells you that you have to live by the laws of Teva, that you have to live by the laws of nature, how can there at the same time be a miraculous conduct on God's part to introduce miracles into the normal natural affairs of the world? And so they said, since by nature, by the laws of nature, the people who live in the land outnumber us and are stronger than us, we are not allowed to depend on a miracle, because now we have to live by the law of the land, by the law of nature, and so it is impossible for us to do this. And even God will not create a miracle or perform a miracle when it comes to settling into the land. And that's what they meant when they said that the Baal HaBos, the master of the house, can't take his property out of there. The Meraglim certainly knew that God can perform miracles. And what's more, they also knew that the laws of nature are a godly law, that it's what God wants. It's not that the laws of nature defy God, but that the laws of nature is another style in which God creates. There's the miraculous style, and then there's the natural style. So the laws of nature are also God's will. And that's why in the example is that the master of the house can't take his property out of the house. It's his property. So the world and everything in it, including the laws of nature, are all God's. They all belong to God. They are his kelim, his property. But they argued that since the Baal HaBos, the master of the house, created the house in such a way and put a structure into the affairs of the house that it should conduct itself a certain way, he wants us to live by the laws of nature, therefore he cannot take his orders, the order of affairs, out of their ordinary and natural course, because then he's undoing his own structure. So you can't have they argued, you can't have miraculous behavior and natural behavior at the same time. The truth is that God, even though he put the world into a certain order and set up laws of nature by which the world conducts itself, it is not proper and is not correct to say that God can't at the same time also perform miracles and introduce miraculous behavior into the land. And therefore, by Jews also, the Jew being a chelek elokam yimal mamash, since the soul of a Jew is literally a piece of God, or as it says, chelek Hashem ami, Jewish people are a part of God. Therefore, when to the Jew also, even as he lives in the laws of nature, and even as he conducts himself according to the laws of nature, he is at the same time capable of rising above the limitations of nature. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, V'ata yigdal na koyach Adnai. Because the name Adnai is the source from which nature derives. As the Alter Rebbe explains, that it is from this name and from this attribute of God that the entire world comes into existence in such a manner that it seems to be a separate and independent entity, not connected to its creator. But at the same time, the word itself, Adon, Adnai, means master of the creation. And so that being the master, God can change and rearrange the laws of nature and the conduct and the direction of nature at any time as he wishes. The spies, their argument was that even the balabas can't change the conditions of the house, and by doing that, they damage, so to speak, their connection with this name of God, with Adnai, with the aspect of God that is the master of the world. And that's why Moshe Rabbeinu prayed, V'ata yigdal makoyach Adnai, he asked that God's mastery of the world should be more obvious and more revealed, so that people not be able to make this kind of a mistake, and by strengthening the name of Adnai in the world will come to recognize that there is no separation between the natural and the miraculous. Why is it that the Meraglim, the spies, didn't have this recognition of God's mastery of the world, that God is not limited by the laws of nature which he himself created? That's because they didn't fully appreciate and recognize the greatness of the Jew. How even while the Jew is in the world, he remains independent of the limitations of the world, and he remains connected to that which is above the laws of nature. As far as they understood, the greatness of a Jew comes from his soul and from his being higher than creation. Since he is not part of creation, his relationship to God has nothing to do with creation, with the world, and with the laws of nature. That's why Jews are special. And when is this expressed? Where is this expressed? When a Jew is in a Beis HaMedrash, or in a Beis HaKnesses, or in the Shul, when he's davening, or when he's learning, or when he's doing other mitzvahs, then the Jew is special. But when a Jew gets involved in natural affairs, in human affairs, which externally make him appear to be no different than any other human being, than the non-Jew, then there is no virtue, there is nothing special about the Jew that makes him different from other nations. So they argued, or they perceived the virtue of the Jew inherent in their performance of Torah and Mitzvahs. which expresses the part of the Jew that is not involved in creation, which is not part of the world. But that part of the Jew that seems human, that is involved in human affairs, here they couldn't see any distinction between Jew and non-Jew. And since they couldn't see this this greatness of the Jew, even as the Jew is in the world, that's why they also made that mistake concerning God himself. Because they created this separation between the spiritual part of the Jew and the physical part of the Jew, they also came to the erroneous conclusion that in God there is a separation and a distinction between God's spiritual influence and God's natural influence. So that when there is a miraculous time, a time for miracles, that's where the spiritual part of God is functioning. But when God settles into a normal pattern of nature and asks the Jew to settle into that pattern, then there can be no miracles, there can be no spiritual expression, or the spiritual part of God expressed at the same time. And that distinction was their mistake. And now we'll understand better the Zohar, where the Zohar says, Zakoi inan Yisroel, Jews are special compared to the idolatrous nations. Because this virtue that the Zohar wants to point out is that Jews are special even when they're not doing mitzvahs, when they're not being spiritual. That even when a Jew is living in a world of concealment, and on the outside you don't see any special behavior, any special qualities, and so he seems to be the same as all other nations, until people can actually think that there is no difference. So here the Zohar says Jews are special even in comparison with other nations, meaning even in their conduct, which is comparable when they're doing worldly things, when they're living a worldly life, even then they are completely, uniquely different from other nations. And how is this expressed? So he brings three qualities that separate the Jew from the non-Jew, even when the Jew is living by nature. Number one, God chooses them. Number two, God uses the Jewish people, Yisroel, as his nickname. And number three, God takes pleasure and is proud of the Jews. Now, each of these three things we find in the rest of the world as well, apparently. And yet, even in these things, the Jew is unique. For example, the sages say, "Kol ma shebara kodesh baruch hu be'olamei lebara dover echad levatola." Not a single thing in creation is unnecessary for God's plan. From this we understand that everything in creation fulfills God's will and God's plan. And yet, God chooses and wants a connection to the Jewish people. And the reason being, since the Jew is the purpose for all of creation, so that there's a difference between God's choosing, wanting the Jewish people, and God's choosing and wanting the rest of creation. Because the rest of creation comes as a result. The fact that God wants creation is a result of the fact that God wants a relationship with the Jewish people. So the Jewish people God wants originally, directly, whereas the rest of creation God wants as a means to the end. And so the desire for the Jew is different than his desire for the rest of creation. Number two, the nickname, that the Jew is the nickname for God. Just as a nickname conceals the true name, you use a nickname when you want to avoid using the real name. And yet, at the other hand, at the same time, the nickname must have some relationship to the person himself, and therefore, through the nickname, the person is described and revealed. And so it is also with Jews. Since the Jew is a part of God from above, so it should be visible in every Jew, it should be recognizable in every Jew, that this is a piece of God walking on earth. But this comes in two ways. When the Jew is acting by his neshama, he's living a life of Torah and Aveda and mitzvahs, then everyone recognizes easily and immediately that this is a piece of God from above. As the Torah says concerning the mitzvah of tefillin, that when they see the Jew putting on tefillin, they all the nations of the world see ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that you are connected to God. But when a Jew is busy with his private affairs, worldly affairs, physical affairs, then it is not so easy to recognize the holiness and the godliness of the Jew, and the non-Jew, and even other Jews may mistakenly think that there is nothing special, that there's no connection then between that part of a Jew's life and his neshama and God. And so it is a matter of gevurah, of concealment, where it is not easily recognizable, it is somewhat concealed. But even then, like a nickname, the Jew, even when he's not acting in a godly fashion, yet he bears a resemblance to the Creator, to his neshama, like a nickname bears a resemblance to the person who is described by it. Only in this case, you have to be a maven to be able to see it. As the famous story that the Chassid, the Monya Monason, was by the Rebbe Rashab, and the Rebbe Rashab was praising very highly some simple people. So Rebbe Monya said, "I don't see it. I don't see their greatness." Rebbe Monya was at that time traveling on business, and he had with him a bag of diamonds because he was a diamond merchant. And later that evening, the Rebbe asked him to show him some of the diamonds, and as he spread out the diamonds, he pointed to one diamond in particular and said, "This one is very special." So the Rebbe said, "I don't see it." So Rebbe Monya said, to appreciate the diamond, you have to be a maven. And so the Rebbe said to him, "Every Jew is something special, but you have to be a maven to appreciate it." And that is what the Zohar is saying, that the Jews are special from all other nations, even in those things in which they are similar to other nations. Even when a Jew is not acting in any special way, even then, Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha, that the Jew has a special relationship with God. Because all of creation and everything in creation is the Word of God that gives it life. And for this you have to be a maven. Because when you look at the physical object that God created, it doesn't seem to be getting life from God. It seems to exist by itself. So you have to be a maven to recognize the creative force in the creation. But even then, the ability to see that the Jew is connected to God is special and different from the ability to see other parts of creation connected to God. Because even when the neshama is concealed and you don't see it easily, yet that special connection remains and makes it easier for the maven to recognize the connection between the Jew and God. And then the third thing is that God is proud of the Jewish people. Here also, the Zohar needs to tell you that the Jew is special because God is proud of all of his creation. Yet the pride that God takes in the Jewish people is unique and different. The pride that God takes and the glory that the Jew brings to God is unique as a king who builds a palace, and that brings him honor, because who else can build such a beautiful palace? But he's building it for his daughter and his son-in-law, and they bring him much more glory. So it's the Jew that brings out the godliness in the world and makes the world something God can be proud of, as it says, "Mi ka'amcha Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz," bringing out the oneness, godliness in the land.